You've probably heard about how difficult it is to become and be an architect. I asked 15 architects what their biggest challenges are and got 15 totally different responses. So here are 14 challenges that you need to prepare yourself for if you're thinking about becoming an architect.
Probably just balancing life with work. There's an inclination, I think, in architecture that you get so buried in a project that you just want to keep working on it sometimes, and trying to balance that with your family and friends and everyone else as well.
Adrian is so right. You really do just get into that mindset where you just really want to get a project done. And the fact is that a project in architecture is never finished. You can always add something, you can always change something, and it's never ending. So you got to find that balance of putting in time to your projects and making sure they're to a good standard, but not taking away from things that you enjoy outside of architecture, like your hobbies, your family, and all that sort of stuff, hanging out with friends. So it really is about finding that balance of architecture and your life.
You can do something that really works well, it's really cool, you love it, and you're really happy with it. And then you can have the flip side. And that's really quite depressing at times, you know, when that happens.
I've definitely had this before. My Studio 3 project was something that I wasn't really fired up about. I got handed a brief that was just not resonating with me. And so my project was just, it was just a drag through to trying to get through this project. But then my Studio 4 project was something I was really fired up about, and I spent every night working on it. It was the best thing I've ever worked on, to be honest. And there was just such a big difference between that Studio 3 project, which I was just doing for the sake of doing, and then that Studio 4 project where I had a passion and a real fiery energy about. And it goes to show that not everything you do in architecture is going to be enjoyable. Sometimes you are going to have crappy jobs, and that's fine. You know, that's with any profession. So make the most of those projects that you really enjoy, and then use that energy to fuel those things that you don't quite enjoy so much, but that you got to get yourself through.
I spend time trying to work things out that someone that's had more experience would be able to easily do in two or three steps. Takes me, you know, five or six.
I can definitely relate to Dakota here. I definitely have that same experience of not knowing everything and feeling like I'm really far behind everyone else. Like, I'll be making 3D models on Revit, and what takes me a long time to do, it might take me 2 hours to design a facade or something, it takes the architect who I work with 20 seconds. And it's just that whole learning process. And once you do it yourself, then you get, that's how you get comfortable doing it. So it really is, push yourself into uncomfortable situations, and from them, you'll learn how to do things and you'll get comfortable doing those things. It's just at the start, it does suck and it feels like you're really far behind and you don't know anything, but everyone's been there and that's just the way it is. And you've got to put yourself through those first steps in order to reap the rewards later.
Aligning client expectations with budget, with time, like all of that sort of thing can be challenging at times.
This one's a hard one because it's something that it feels like you can't control, trying to keep your clients happy. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's something that you've got to do, and it's something that's really rewarding once you do get it done, which is something Danny later mentions in this documentary. By the way, if you're wondering where all these clips came from, they are from the documentary Behind Closed Doors, The Life of an Architect. It's almost 2 hours long. It's on YouTube. It's like the only full-length featured film on YouTube about architecture, so check that out. I'd highly recommend it. It's based on these guys' lives and what they do as architects and interior designers, and it's a really good insight into the profession if you're thinking about becoming an architect. But Danny makes a good point here that clients may have some preconceived ideas and thoughts about what you do, and they might have perceptions on how long a project is going to take. What is in reality might not necessarily be aligned with what they are thinking. So a project they might think in their head takes 6 months when in reality it takes 2 years, and trying to convince and convey that to your client is not an easy thing to do. It's a challenge. And as Danny says, that doesn't make it a bad thing. It's more of a challenge, which is, you know, in a way a good thing, because with that comes communication and trying to figure out how you can convey this to the clients in the nicest possible way and get them on board with that. So yeah, it's a bit of a skill to grab onto, but once you start working with clients and you figure that out for yourself, which I am still yet to do, then I'm sure that will come along the way, as Danny mentions in this.
I mean, just the volume of emails and stuff that comes through, there's just a lot of stuff to get through every day, which, you know, sometimes it's necessary, a lot of the time it's not necessary.
So what David's referring to here is that there's a lot of admin work when it comes to architecture, but this is more prevalent for those senior members in architecture firms than, you know, say a fresh graduate out of uni. They're not going to be working with clients a whole lot, and it's going to be a lot more computer-based work. But for senior members, something they have a big focus on is client interactions, dealing with contractors and surveyors and different people in the industry. And that's a lot of work. David mentions in his interview that he spends a lot of time just dealing with people, which again isn't a bad thing, but it's a lot of admin work, which isn't really what he signed up for architecture for. You know, he signed up to be an architect to design buildings, not necessarily go through emails for 3 hours a day, which is sometimes, I can imagine that being the case, you know, constantly having to deal with emails, phone calls, and all that sort of thing.
Finding work, that's huge, but I've found some, so that's nice.
So Eliza makes a great point here as well, that finding work is difficult, and it really is about who you know, not what you know. You can spend all your time at uni just in your own world, learning as much as you can, becoming the best and most well-rounded student you can, but it's until you actually get out in the industry and you meet people in the industry that you can actually find work and get connections and networks with people, because that's such a big thing to do as a student. If you're not doing that, then it's going to be very difficult to find a job after you graduate without knowing people. So that's a bit of a challenge for graduates, for students to find work, but don't get discouraged by that. Try and use that as a means to get yourself out there, meet new people, go to networking events, sign up to different competitions, and just get yourself out there, because that's going to be a big thing to push you and progress you forward.
Typically, outside of the studio, you have to remain really impartial. What I mean by that is that as an architect, and this is something you discover when you're going through your registration process, if that's something you're wanting to do, you can't be biased towards a particular person. You just have to do your job to the best that you can.
This is a very resonant point for Gabrielle, because she's just become a registered architect and she's gone through that whole process. And what she's learned from that is that even outside of your work, you really have to remain unbiased about who you're dealing with and what you're saying to people. You can't side with a client, because there's contracts in place saying that the architect is responsible for a bunch of things, making sure the project gets done on time and the right materials are used, all this sort of stuff. So if you're siding with a client and saying, yeah, the client said that we can get this done 2 months earlier, blah, 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 well, no, because now you're siding with the client, whereas the builder is also a part of that contract who has rights to that contract. So you've got to remain unbiased, and that's something that I don't really have a whole lot of knowledge about, but I think Gabrielle makes a good point that that is a challenge, and that's really something that you'll focus on and come to that challenge will come to light once you do get registered, because you've got a lot more responsibility, which I think is a great point made from this challenge. There's a lot of responsibility as an architect, and you need to be ready for that responsibility, because you've got people to please, you've got contracts to stay liable to, and that's something we're going to get into a bit later as well. So
you don't have a lot of understanding about what running a business is about coming out of your degree.
Paul runs his own architectural practice, and it's true. A lot of people want to, you know, run their own practice. It's something they aspire to doing, but that's really something you've got to learn on your own if that is something that you want to do. The challenge then is teaching yourself or finding a mentor that can teach you those skills. And that's going to be a lot of what architecture is about. If you want to learn something that, you know, isn't in your course, well, you're going to have to teach yourself that. And there's a lot of researching things on your own, finding stuff out for yourself, and meeting people who have been there and done that, because there are so many different pathways in architecture, so many different things you can do in the realm and the industry of architecture, that it's really difficult for university to teach you everything you need to know. So it's up to you then to go out and find the people who have done that, who have specialized in what you want to know, and then learn from them and get them to teach you, or get on Google, learn it yourself. There are courses for anything nowadays, so.
Unrealistic deadlines. You know, sometimes we keep agreeing to things to appease the client, which, you know, is a good thing. I guess it comes down to the relationship with the client a little bit as well, whether we are trying to impress or trying to work with or just trying to get the best outcome, all those sort of things. It's one thing that I think clients sometimes really underestimate is the amount of time it takes to do things.
Now, unrealistic deadlines is something that we do need to touch on, because this is something that we feel like is a big deal to us in architecture school, that we've got all these different projects due and exams due, and there's all these unrealistic things that we need to get done, but we don't have time for it. So it's a really big idea as an architect and a big challenge to manage your time. And sometimes you might have to say no to a client, which is what Danny was saying. Sometimes you might need to not just take on everything that comes at you, which is difficult to do because you want to take all the opportunities you can. But at the same time, you want to be able to manage your time and manage your expectations of others so that you can do your best work without, you know, taking on extra projects that will hinder projects you already got on. So that's a big challenge to keep in mind.
The challenge is communication. How do you communicate your ideas? If you're not able to communicate your idea and express and do it justice, then actually you're not expressing yourself quite well.
It's so true. If you can't express your ideas, it doesn't matter if you've got the cure for cancer. If you can't sell your ideas and convince others that you've got the cure, then it's worthless. So if you've got the best design in the world, if you can't effectively communicate that idea to the client, to the people, to the developers, or to anyone involved trying to get involved in the project, well, it's going to be very difficult to win that project. But once you can actually effectively communicate your ideas and sell your ideas, that's when you can progress forward with your work. So being an architect is very much a people-focused thing, and you need to be a bit of a salesman as well, which is something that you don't learn in architecture school, but something that you're going to have to learn for yourself.
Starting from the bottom, definitely, because you know you're in your own little world for 4 years and you're doing everything the way you want to do it, and you come out the end and you're working for someone else and they want to mold you to the way that they like to do things in their firm. Mm. So you've kind of got to pick things up very quickly.
You definitely have to pick things up very quickly, but it also goes to show that there's a huge difference between studio and practice, which is fine because in a few of these interviews, they do mention that there is a massive gap between what you learn in uni and what you need to know for practice. But a lot of what you need to know in practice is taught to you in those first few years working for that firm. So don't get discouraged if you feel like you don't know anything, because I know nothing. I'm currently working in a practice. You definitely have to pick things up quickly, which is fine because it's a good experience to be able to adapt to things and evolve over time. And by pushing yourself in uncomfortable situations, as said earlier, it's the fastest way you're going to learn and it's the best way that you're going to progress in your career.
Time. So I'm always trying to pack in a lot in every day. And with my family, I also want to give them a lot of me as well. You know, working full time and wanting to be home at the end of the day, not too late, to be with my family is critical.
That does go back to an earlier point that there's a lot of just juggling things. And by having a full time job, like any kind of full time job, it's going to limit how much energy you have when you get home. After a full day of work, working 40 hours a week, you're not going to have as much energy as someone who's got, you know, all this time to themselves. It then comes down to who you're working with. Are you really enjoying what you're doing? Can you maybe work 3 days a week and then spend more time on a side business? Or like, it really depends what you want to do. If you really enjoy what you're doing, you know, 5 days a week isn't going to seem like much. It's going to fly by because you're having fun doing what you're doing. But it's just a matter of making conscious decisions about how much time you want to spend on what. And is this really what you want to do? Or would you rather be doing something else? It's just something to think about.
Everything that you do is going to stand there, and you're building a legacy. That's the biggest challenge, you know, is building that legacy and what you've done for that client or that community or that city, because it's standing there. I think there's a tremendous responsibility to make enduring pieces of work.
This is what I was talking about earlier, that there is a huge responsibility that comes with being an architect. And that is one of the biggest challenges, because you're making things, you're designing buildings that are going to be standing there well long past the time we're gone, which is cool because then you've got some legacy you're leaving behind. But it's also a challenge because it's like, well, now you need to make these places better if you want longer standing buildings. If you want something that's standing there for hundreds of years, well, you're going to have to think about in 100 years from now, is my building still going to be relevant? And then it also comes back to your impact. You know, the building industry is like 50% of the carbon producers in the world or something. Like, the building industry has a big impact on the, I guess, the future of the earth, because building materials and the construction process uses a lot of the earth's resources. And I know I'm getting a bit deeper here, but there's a huge responsibility that comes with that, because now you need to make good decisions about what materials you're using, about how you're impacting the land that you're designing and you're building on. There's a huge responsibility that comes with what you're doing, hence why there is, you know, 7 years to become an architect. It's a long process, but that's because, you know, you're designing things that, you know, if it fell down on a person, you can kill people. There's a big responsibility that comes with being an architect, and that's a challenge.
Deadlines and the stress that comes with them. You know, you try to monitor it as much as you can, but every now and then you will get caught out, or you'll just have to put in some extra hours.
And the last challenge, of course, is deadlines again, because deadlines are a big challenge that we all face. But you know what? They push us to better ourselves. If there weren't deadlines, we wouldn't get anything done. And yeah, there you have it. There's 14 challenges that you might have to face as an architect. I encourage you to go check out the documentary where all these interviews are from, and you get a huge, big, much bigger insight into what it is actually like being an architect. If you feel a bit down after this video, I suggest watching that, because it should clear any doubts you have about becoming an architect. It's not as bad as it may seem. Until next time, guys, thank you so much. Take care.